Thanks for tuning in for Cincinnati Edition for this Saturday morning. Time to go On the Money with Chris DeSimio. This morning, his guest is Gene Chatsky, financial editor for NBC's Today Show.
Another fun week on Wall Street last week. The market's off to a very vigorous rally, some better-than-expected numbers from the Institute for Supply Management. And then yesterday morning, we got the employment figures for the month of September. They shrugged off the headline figures and focused instead on the growth of jobs in the private sector, better than expected. And another interesting week. And it's a pleasure to welcome back to the show our friend Gene Chatsky, who is the financial editor of NBC's Today Show. She's written numerous books, the last of which was Money 911, essentially how to react and respond in a financial emergency. And, of course, perhaps the best way to respond in a financial emergency is not to have one in the first place.
I would absolutely agree with that. And if you prepare your kids, maybe they won't have financial emergencies either, and that's what this new book is all about.
Exactly. Why do some parents, Gene, have such a tough time talking with their kids about money?
Because some parents, many parents, feel like they don't know what they're doing themselves. And you can't really blame them for that. They weren't necessarily educated in schools or in homes themselves. And so talking with their kids becomes even more difficult. A lot of those parents over the years came up to me and said, could you please just write something that explains it to my kids in a way that they can understand it? That's what Not Your Parents' Money book is all about.
Yeah. It's interesting because a lot of books have been written for parents to kind of on how to talk to your kids about it. But this one is actually written for children, very accessible. What age group is this really aimed at?
It's aimed at middle school kids.
Middle school
kids. So, you know, if you've got a fifth grader who's very interested all the way up through eighth grade, maybe even ninth, this is the book for them. And before I wrote it, I went out into a lot of schools and I talked to middle school kids about money. I wanted to know what they already knew. You know, what did they want to know? What did they not care about at all? And so I used their questions and their guidance to shape the content that's in this book.
Yeah, what were some of the most interesting questions that these young people asked you as you were doing your research?
You know, they were very focused on real life to a degree that surprised me, actually. They wanted to know what kind of jobs pay the best. How could they earn money now? How much would they have to earn in order to support themselves in the future? All of those kind of questions that really said, okay, I know one day I want to be independent. I don't want to come back and live on my parents' couch. I want to have my own life with my own house and my own car and my own family. And I know that I need to handle money to do that. Nobody's teaching me. Teach me.
Yeah, interesting. And you talk about the parents' couch, and of course that's a sad, sad image of people getting out of college and hanging around on mom and dad's couch. To what extent do parents' financial success or lack thereof influence children at that age?
We learn a lot about how to handle money from two things that our parents do, from the way that they do it themselves. We watch how our parents manage their own money. We watch how they spend. We watch how they save. But we also get an awful lot from the conversations that our parents include us in. The problem that a lot of kids have with money these days is that it's become invisible. When I was growing up, I would go to the bank with my mother. I would watch her deposit checks. I would see her sit at a table at night and pay the bills. Doesn't happen anymore. We get our checks deposited by direct deposit. We pull cash out of the ATMs. We bank online. It happens very quickly and seamlessly. And it's great for adults, but for kids, they're missing these basic lessons. And so parents actually have to say, this is what's happening. I am paying the bills when I sit here at the computer. I'm not on Facebook. So that kids understand what's going on.
Interesting, interesting. And so they don't have that sense of connection of getting to count money or handle it.
That's true. And that's why allowances are so important, because kids need to learn. An allowance is like a mini paycheck. Kids need to know that they're going to get this money, but then they have certain responsibilities that money has to cover. So whether you want your kids to have to pay for their own lunch at school, or you want your kids to pay for their own activities after school, or to pay for birthday gifts for their friends, whatever you decide you're going to put on that list for the allowance, the kids then have to manage the money in order to meet those objectives. Otherwise, they're going to run out. And they won't get paid again until the next time, and that's how they learn.
Okay. Is there a magic number in the allowance department?
No, no magic number. It really needs to be commensurate with the responsibilities. And you also want to sort of take a random survey of what allowances are in your neighborhood, because you don't want your kid to be getting a lot more or a lot less than his or her friends.
Yeah. You had quite a bit in your book, not your parents' money book, Making, Saving, and Spending Your Own Money, a book written on financial literacy, written for kids and to be read by kids, and mom and dad can kind of peek over their shoulders or pick it up when the kids put it down. But in your book, Gene, you talk about the different kinds of things that young people can do if they want to go either beyond the allowance or do something instead of the allowance and start making their money themselves. And it was quite a long list. I was surprised.
Well, because kids want to know, besides babysitting, what can I do? And there's so many different things, from washing cars to walking dogs to watering plants to getting a job in a local store. I mean, I'm not the most technologically adept person. I've hired teenagers to load my iPod. I've hired teenagers to help me with PowerPoint presentations or to edit video or to shoot video. I mean, kids are learning to do that in school. So let them use those skills to help you.
Yeah, a bike tuner. That's an interesting, fun thing.
Absolutely. There's so many things that kids know how to do, and we should be encouraging them to work because to earn money, because we know, research shows, that kids who work in high school and college grow up to be more financially responsible as adults.
Yeah. Gene, in your book, you talked about in the final chapter, about a brick that you paid $20 for and how it influenced you. Can you share that story with us?
So one of the lessons I think that kids need to learn, and it's a tough one, is that there is no free lunch. And if something seems too good to be true, it's probably a scam. But when I first moved to New York City, it was in the days where everybody had an actual answering machine, except I didn't because they were expensive and I was only earning $11,000 a year. There was a guy on the street selling answering machines, at least what appeared to be answering machines. And only after I toted it around for an entire afternoon did I get home and open it and discover that I'd paid $20 for a brick.
And it influenced you.
It did. It taught me, you know, to be more cynical, to be a little bit more careful with my money, and to understand that when you buy something of value, you have to pay generally the value of that item. And that may require some saving. I made a lot of mistakes with my money when I got out of college. I had credit card debt. I didn't understand my 401k. You know, I wish I had had a book like this to help me sort of get the very basics at a young age. And that's the sort of response that I've gotten from parents. I've been hearing from parents. I'm on Twitter a lot. I have a pretty active Twitter feed. And I've been hearing from parents on Twitter, you know, who are following me, not only their questions, which, of course, it's fun to answer, but that the book is helping their kids.
Yeah. Gene, you hit upon the magic word saving in Chapter 5 of your book, not your parents' money book. How do you best explain this to junior high school or middle school children, the difference between the pleasure of spending versus the pain, apparent pain of saving?
The apparent pain of saving has to translate into spending on something else at a later date, right? Saving works when we are saving for something and when we can see, when we can visualize it. And this is true for adults just as it is for kids. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is that we are trying to obtain later, it's a big help. That's what we've learned from behavioral finance. So if your kid is saving for a new iPod, then they should have a picture of that iPod. Just like if you're saving for a second house, you should have a picture of what that house might look like, because it will help you not spend your money on the things that are more available and less expensive today.
Yeah. Well, Gene, I want to thank you so much for spending part of your weekend to help us get the big picture. Your latest book, Not Your Parents' Money Book, available online and at your favorite bookstores. And Gene Chatsky, thanks again so much.
My pleasure.
For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Chris DeSimio on The Money.